Hey, I'm sorry, quick question. Do I scribe in Jitsi or do I scribe in IRC?
Either way will work. You can do either one.
Okay.
And it'll pick it up. All right. Welcome everyone to the August 24th, 2021, VC HTTP API call. Marcus is scribing for us today. Thank you very much, Marcus, for volunteering to do that. Today on the agenda, I'll go ahead and put the agenda in here. Today on the agenda, we've got agenda review, introductions. Justin has made a request, to add an item on authorization language. Justin, if we could, is that a time box? Could we time box to 5 minutes and then have a, okay, great. So we'll time box that to 5 minutes at right after introductions, before the Trinzic presentation. And today we have Michael Boyd from Trinzic to just kind of give a walkthrough of their API. As everyone knows, we work on APIs here around verifiable credentials, and a number of folks in the community, including myself, are impressed with Trinzic's API. So Michael's going to kind of take us through that, and we'll do some Q&A. That's most of the call. And at the very end of the call, we'll go over the VCHTTP API renaming poll results without making any final decisions. There's an objection on the poll. We'll let that play out. And we'll just have a general, kind of discussion about some of the things that floated to the top. Any other updates or changes to the agenda before we proceed? Okay, seeing no updates or changes, let's go ahead and do some introductions. Michael, I think it'd be great if you did an introduction, and then I think Sudesh, you're new, Rawlson, you don't have to, you know, you don't feel like you have to introduce yourself, but it's always nice to hear where some of the new folks in the community are coming from. Michael, would you mind, since you're talking today? You might have to, there's an unmute button you're going to have to click.
Hey, everyone. Great to be here. So I have been working in the decentralized identity community for about 3 years now. I started out working with Nathan George at the Sovereign Foundation as one of the first engineers there. From that time in 2019, some of you may also know Tomislav Markovsky and Riley Hughes. The three of us met in the decentralized identity community, got together, formed Trinzic, and for about the last 2 years, have been building, tools for developers to easily implement self-sovereign identity and verifiable credentials into their applications. So I am a software engineer by trade. I primarily do, kind of product leadership or product management working out Trinzic. And let's see, I really into, bicycling and cooking. And I don't know if I've been on this call before. So, this is my first time on the VCHTTP API call, and I'm excited to be here.
Wonderful. That was a great introduction, Michael. Thank you. Anyone else want to introduce themselves to the group?
Hey, this is Sudesh. Hello, everyone. I'm from security and working majorly on projects for TrustBlock and also on Aries. And I've been working in digital identity for last almost 3 years. And I majorly participated in VCHTTP APIs, wallets, and also the Aries protocol implementation. And this is it about me. Thanks, everyone.
Great. Wonderful. Welcome, Sudesh, to the calls. Would anybody else like to introduce themselves?
Hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Rawlson Kouros. I work as a software engineer at SecureKey. I primarily work on cross-block platform and as well as Hyperledger Aries framework core. I have used VCHTTP APIs like last time we were implementing. This is my first time in this call. It's nice to be here.
Wonderful. Welcome, Rawlson. Is there anybody else that would like to introduce themselves or reintroduce yourself if you've changed jobs, changed positions, changed locations? Anyone else? All right. Well, let's get into the agenda. Justin, what would you like to talk about? What's the topic? What should I name the topic?
Authorization requirements or security requirements, however you want to frame that.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. So shall I just jump in?
Please.
All right. This will be quick. I dropped a link into chat, because I spent some time last week actually writing up some text, because there seemed to be a lot of confusion, with regard to all of these, resolutions that were being passed around and people arguing about, like, oh, I would be fine if this weren't a must and blah, blah, blah. And I think there was just a lot of confusion about what that must actually meant. It's always confusing when, you have normative text that binds the specification editors and not the specification implementers. So what I decided to do was sit down and write what I thought the text coming out of this actually would look like, or at least take a stab at it. That's the link that's in the chat. And if you read through it, you can see that, importantly, the top paragraph that says, since this is an HTTP API, you're allowed to use any technology that you want that can protect an HTTP API, and it's recommended that deployments, so that's a normative should, recommended that deployments use standard delegation protocols for interoperable access to the functions of the API, and is not recommended to use direct authentication technology such as HTTP BASIC. You're still allowed to, we just say it's not a good idea. On top of this, every endpoint would define a set of elements that describe the kinds of access in the dimensions that I've been talking about when I gave the introduction to RAR and GNAP a number of weeks ago. And this section basically just says universally how to apply those elements if you're using one, OAuth 2.0, and rich authorization requests, and two, GNAP. Now, it's important to point out that neither of those are required to implement, nor are they required to deploy or use. But it's simply saying that if you are doing this, then you need to support this particular profile. And you can also support additional profiles that do other things, but those are outside of what this spec really cares about. In addition to the text that is in that branch, I did actually look into what it would take to add those parameters to each of the endpoint specifications. But it turns out that the group is using a very limited piece of tooling called Redoc, which does not allow for extensions and extensibility. You're kind of locked into whatever they ship with, and I found at least no way to put in extensions either in the way that OpenAPI allows you to do and actually get those rendered, or to have any type of plugin into Redoc. So if the group continues to use Redoc, that's going to be something that's going to be a limitation to something else eventually, but it definitely was in the description here. All that was really going into each of those, though, was just a way to say this is the authorization type field. These are the actions that are available and what they mean, the same way that you would describe what scopes are. And that's pretty much it. And this text that's up at the top tells you how you would roll that into requesting access for the API. And that is the full extent of what I think that this suite of specifications should define. It's not talking about flows. It's not talking about token types. It's not talking about formats or introspection or deployments or client types or anything like that. The spec should stay silent on all of those. That has been my very vocal opinion from the start. This, however, I think would go a very long way towards interoperability, and this is what I have been arguing for all along. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Justin. And doubly thank you for actually writing something down that's concrete that the group can discuss, that can typically, as you know, help move the conversation forward much, much further than just kind of talking and not having something concrete to talk over. So my expectation is that the group is going to comment on that every single line. People should say whether or not they're supportive, disagree, and we can kind of go forward from there. We will be picking up the authorization discussion at some point in the future. Don't know when yet. But that should not stop people from talking about it in GitHub, if that's possible. Justin, I think, this is not a PR, but people can comment. So people can comment.
Well, I could turn, sorry to interrupt, Manu, but I could turn that into a PR. I hesitated to because I basically saw this as a draft for discussion.
Yep. Up to you, Justin. I think it would be helpful if people could comment directly on the lines.
I'll do that right now.
Okay, great. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I think it's perfectly legitimate to raise a PR on the spec saying you want to add that text, and then we'll refine in the PR. Okay. Again, thank you, Justin, for putting that together and doing the PR. That's what we need to move this conversation forward. I'm going to move on to the next item because we want to leave time for Trinzic. I am not going to be able to run the call next week on Tuesday. If there's someone that would like to volunteer to run the call, that would be great, and we can have a call. And if nobody steps forward to volunteer, then we just won't have a call. Let me pause for a second. Any volunteers to run the call for next week? There's no agenda planned, so we can talk about it. Okay, Mike Prorock is volunteering. Thank you, Mike. Maybe we can coordinate offline just to talk about what the agenda could be. Okay, that's that item. Actually, let me mark that. Okay. Next up is the Trinzic API presentation. Michael, however you want to cover this is good with us. You have the ability to screen share, so feel free to do that. We would be good to time box this to about 15 minutes and then have about maybe 20, well, we'll just have Q&A for the rest of the time. And then as long as we leave 5 minutes at the very end of the call to talk about the renaming poll, that'd be great. Over to you, Michael. You are muted, I think.
I got that. There we go. Can everyone see my screen and hear me?
Yes.
All right. Wonderful. So I thought, this is a technical audience. I would like to just dive right into our API and discuss some of the decisions we've made. Before I do that, in case anyone has not, heard of us before, Trinzic, is a developer focused company, that has built a set of APIs, and SDKs. And then a developer dashboard, and which is what we call a credential studio, so that people can create organizations. For example, the one here that then can operate as either issuers or verifiers to issue and verify verifiable credentials. We implement Hyperledger Ares, specifically the .NET framework in Ares, to enable all of this. And we've also built a mobile wallet. Not shown here is Trinzic's wallet API as well, which I can talk about. And kind of the what is enabled by all this technology is a really easy way for issuers, verifiers, and holders to all get up and running, issuing and verifying credentials without really any configuration required. So, if I were to create a connection invitation, an Aries connection invitation here. I could use the mobile wallet to scan that, accept it, and then in the studio here, I just created this organization from scratch, but I can create templates. You know, these are indie SDK or Hyperledger indie credential definitions that are based on schemas and are into the sovereign ledger. I can create this here and then issue them to a wallet. I have a bunch of test ones, a lot of test ones actually in this wallet. But, you know, they allow you to issue and verify credentials. And this whole interface was actually completely built using our own public APIs. So let me get into that here. I'm pretty happy about our developer documentation. We try to treat this as kind of our keystone product for our developers that use Trinzic. But in our API, we have three main kind of API concepts here. We have our credentials API, our wallet API, and our provider API. And like I showed you, just creating a connection, which actually was right here, Faber College, in the wallet. The connections and the credentials that we use with organizations are all in the credentials API. So, this API right here, we specifically made it for issuers and verifiers. So this is probably the one that is most in line with the verifiable credentials HTTP API. I don't remember, if the spec is including the holder, scenarios yet. It looks like you have presenting. So that's good. But for holders, for holders of wallets, we defined a wallet API, which, like I mentioned, gives you the functionality of a mobile wallet, but in more of a custodial cloud environment. And we found a lot of customers requesting this, especially for, scenarios where maybe someone doesn't have a smartphone. So one of our first projects was with a company called Farmer Connect. And we built a SMS proxy, in front of our cloud wallets so that farmers could access their credentials, using a SMS verification code. And then finally, this is more recent, after working with, you know, hundreds of developers and tens of different organizations going into production with our credentials and wallet API, we started realizing a lot of our customers were what we started calling providers. And providers are basically companies that are helping onboard organizations and individuals into an ecosystem. So our provider API here allows a company to create organizations similar to how I showed you in the studio, en masse. And then each of these organizations also have a custodial cloud wallet, which then allow them to issue and verify credentials. So, using this set of API endpoints, basically you could create a complete production credential exchange ecosystem with issuers, verifiers, holders, and you can do it without really any configuration needed. That's a little that's probably as demo-y as I'll get today. I wanted to spend most of the time talking through a couple of our decisions here, specifically on the credentials API, and maybe a little bit on the wallet API. So like I mentioned, we are following the Hyperledger Aries protocols, and we've done all this using DIDCOM, Decentralized Identity Communication. So all of our semantics here are very closely in line with Hyperledger Aries. This definitely starts out, most exchanges start out with a connection. And this is using the connection invitation protocol, with the Aries RFCs. And we found that a lot of our customers like the connections because it abstracts away the credential exchange, like infrastructure from their application. And I guess that is one takeaway here. We are just increasingly finding, customers want the simpler the entry point, the more easy it is for them to use. In general, I think as technologists, we value, like flexibility and kind of robustness of features. That is also the case for some of our power users. For most people, they would like to have a kind of 60 minutes to wow. Integration where they can maybe build something or run an app. Turns out that having kind of, a complete end-to-end encrypted connection layer behind the scenes for our customers to use is a really powerful, thing. I don't know, where the VC HTTP API kind of stops in terms of the scope that it's hoping to achieve. But we've found that the connections are very valuable. We've actually also enabled connection-less credentials, so that, if organizations maybe want to just host a QR code and send it through an email address, to give a credential to somebody, they could do that as well. In our credentials endpoints, we've chosen to abstract a lot of the VC data model away from our customers. And this is something that we've continually thought about and tried to figure out the right balance between abstraction and kind of just pass through to the original VC data model. That's a very tricky product decision to kind of figure out. For this first API that we've published, we've chosen to be very, how would you call it? Very, like, helpful, I guess, to our users. Helpful might not be the right word. We've chosen to abstract a lot of the complexity away. I'll say it that way. And so, like, for example, we just define CRUD endpoints for all of the credentials. And, actually behind the scenes here, we do, enable individuals and organizations to store all of their credentials in the cloud wallet. So if you're an organization, you can store them here. However, we have, given, users credential IDs to store on their end if they would like to have the data completely, self-hosted. They could choose to store all the credentials in some sort of, environment and then, like, you know, delete them from the Trinsic server. So that is an option here. But in general, we've chosen to take the approach of just making it super easy to use, making it really abstracted. So, like, what I mean by that is when you issue a credential here, we basically just have you, issue, well, I guess it would be the offer endpoint. We have you input a definition ID. And this is for the credential definition, that you define in the kind of indie, blockchain the indie, blockchain artifact is a credential definition. You can create that. For us, issuing a credential is as simple as, offering the credential is as simple as putting that definition ID in here, putting the connection ID that you've already created, a couple of, kind of syntactical sugar things, for automatic issuance, and then just adding the values here. And the value, might look like the attribute name. So if there's an attribute name called, let's say, date of birth, you're going to need to enter that in exactly. And then, you know, you can add the value in here. These are all text type fields. We don't have any sort of specific kind of field types at this point. Let's see. For the audience here, I guess I probably should, see, my 15 minutes is almost up already. So, I would love to base this based on questions. Manu, you mentioned that you were pretty impressed with our API. I really appreciate you saying that. I'd love to know kind of what areas you found to be, like most interesting. And maybe from there, we can kind of have a discussion on, just like what are some of the shared learnings that we can all have on building better APIs to issue and verify credentials?
Yeah, that sounds great, Michael.
Let's do that.
And so we have a queuing system here. So when people want to ask questions, okay, they type Q plus. We already have Mike Prorock on the queue. If anyone else would like to ask a question about this, I know I've got a lot of questions. Please add yourself to the queue and we'll go in order. Mike, you're up. Go ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Manu. And, yeah, great to have you on. And, I'll echo Manu, like, super impressed with your guys' product, et cetera. We've taken on our product side kind of a similar abstraction out approach, right? Just to make it easy for end users, customers, et cetera, to onboard. Do you still have access under the hood into the VCs? Can like a raw, like proper VC by VC data model spec be pulled out, including like app context and stuff like that, so semantics can be applied? And I guess kind of following on that, are you leveraging that kind of context approach in order to apply semantics and or vocabularies to, you know, ease certain, you know, kinds of things? Like I want to issue a credential for X and it's already got this well-defined type and properties, right?
That's a great question. The product person in me is going to say we would totally have done that if anyone had ever asked for it. No one's ever asked for it at this point. It wouldn't be terribly complex to implement. But we've found, for a lot of our, users right now, specifically the organization users, they haven't really found that valuable yet. I recognize that there is a key element here of no vendor lock-in, and we've kind of strategically hunted that for the organization. We've kind of said, if you're going to use Trinsic right now, it's kind of using us whole hog, as an organization. However, your users should be able to export their credentials and import them into any other wallet of their choice. With the Trinsic V2, API, which we're currently working on, we've taken a bit of a different product direction. You will be able to, represent and export your credentials in the standard VC data model. It's also complexifying because the Hyperledger Aries and IndieStack don't really use the VC data model behind the scenes. It's a bit of a abstraction from that, like I mentioned with the credential definitions on the blockchain itself. They don't use context or really link data in that regard.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's also why we don't do it.
Yeah. No, it makes total sense. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Michael Herman, you're up next.
So first of all, I can be a testimonial as a client and a developer against the Trinsic stack, and it is an extraordinarily easy platform to use. My question, Michael, is if you imagine a scenario where every mom-and-pop grocery store and restaurant and hardware store wanted to be enabled, for example, to issue purchase orders and receive invoices and that, how would it scale? How would you see this evolving, and how would it scale to support like ABC Grocery wanting to send a purchase order to David's Cabbages and have that just be pervasive across the world?
So you're talking kind of about more of an adoption problem, is that right? Like how do we help people adopt this?
No, I'm thinking, does everybody have to become an issuer? Does ABC Grocery have to become an issuer, for example?
And if we're talking about like transacting, maybe like receipts as a, as an example use case?
Well, if ABC Grocer wants to send an invoice to David's Cabbages, not invoice, a purchase order to David's Cabbages, do they have to become an issuer? How do we make this scale for everyday business transactions?
Yeah. We definitely found, like at least at our layer, which is more of a technology provider layer, that like it's useful to build the piping and kind of like that, like the roads or the infrastructure, and then let industry partners or kind of veterans of different industries go and help provide more of a front end experience to customers. So to answer your question, would a grocer need to be an issuer of an invoice? It depends. The answer is probably yes. However, the grocer probably wouldn't be dealing with verifiable credentials as a data model. They probably would be dealing with some sort of front end vendor software. And what we found is, I mean, and this is my projection of the future, right? This could be totally different. I foresee the VCHTP API and APIs like Trinzix being integrated into software that is then like kind of used by grocers around the world, right? So we are providing like, and this is actually why we mentioned this provider concept here. We found the majority of our customers would like to own that experience for the grocers and the cabbage shops and all the like. We're giving them the tools to succeed there. I think that's how it gets adopted. Semantically, is a grocer an issuer? Yes, but they probably won't know it themselves.
If I could be afforded just a quick reply, I agree with you. And so whether it's Microsoft Dynamics or QuickBooks, I imagine an add-on, in fact, that would be able to issue those native purchase orders and invoices as verifiable credentials and being exchanged with other accounting systems. And I'll hand the mic back.
Yep, I could see that.
All right, thanks, Michael. Adrian, you're up.
Okay, so you mentioned a messaging-oriented design with the credentials going either through DIDCOM or email. And I'm curious, and I saw Manu's going to ask a similar question after me. Is there any authorization component to your stack or to your, what did you call it, libraries, whatever, the studio? Is there an authorization component to your studio, or are you assuming, it sounds like, that there will be a front end that's added on that might or might not have authorization, if I just heard you correctly. And along with that, in that same vein, when you do it the way you did, does it matter to the issuer whether they're talking to the wallet in the cloud, the holder, or to a verifier? Because if it's a messaging-oriented structure, I would imagine that it really makes no difference as to whether the issuer is communicating with a holder or a verifier. So those are related questions, yeah. You can see.
Yeah. Well, talking with you about authorization is a pleasure. I've been trying to stay up to date on the mailing list, so thank you for all the thoughts there, Adrian. To answer this as concisely as I can, we use bearer tokens currently to authorize for each organization. You have to realize, like, for the Aries framework using DIDCOM, that is done a little behind the scenes. And, we are primarily talking about authorizing to the API interface itself. And then beyond that is DID communication to exchange connections, or exchange credentials between two agents, and they have their agent endpoints that
that have those mutually authenticated connections using DIDs. So this is just to authenticate to the API layer itself. I want to be clear about that. And that is, we use bearer tokens, which are, using our own, which are using our own identity provider at this point. We've kind of punted the issue of authentication. We are looking at object capabilities, using Zcap LD for future kind of implementations of our API. At this point though, it's primarily just the bearer token itself that then enables a client or a server side caller to authenticate to our API and then prove that they are Faber College to issue a credential. The same goes for verifying a credential. They will authenticate with the bearer token and then verify again using the API endpoints. And then for the holder themselves, that is completely done using DID communication. So, the wallet is completely standalone. There's no dependency on our, backend services for the wallet that I was showing here. They do have a push notification service behind the scenes here. But it's, you know, that's ancillary. To this. I hope that answered your question. I can try to be more specific, if not.
Thank you. That's it.
And yeah, those are authenticated in the headers of each endpoint. Just, yeah.
So I'm curious, Adrian, do you find that, so, Michael, there's been a very, heated, engaging discussion around authorization over the past couple of months. And I'm wondering, Adrian, if what Michael said, which was at least very clear to me, Adrian, if that, like that kind of setup is acceptable to you, or you're still concerned about, you know, sovereignty of the subject.
To put it quickly, I am entirely focused on the ability of the subject to delegate. And so to the extent that the Trinsic Studio doesn't force subjects to be holders, you know, the holder can be in the cloud, can be a multi-tenant system, for all sorts of reasons, I'm completely aligned with that. It is not, in other words, in everything that I'm doing, I'm proposing, I want to separate possession from control, and to then allow for delegation of the control component. And that is the only thread, you know, the right to delegate as a human right is the only thing that ties together my, my insistence or my proposals, nothing else. So, I don't know if that answered your question, Manu, but, the answer is some yes and some no, because okay. It doesn't explicitly deal with delegation.
Got it. That was just to clarify on the exchange between Michael and Adrian. Michael, go ahead.
Manu, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
Just to one thing to say, like we've taken kind of an approach of like organizations are not people, and that's helped us move forward with some of this stuff, like. When we're talking about an issuer versus and a verifier, we've taken the stance that those are kind of different entities, and those have maybe more of a legal contract to Trinsic than a holder does. And so we've separated out the authorization and authentication accordingly. With the wallet API, this is a custodial relationship underneath an organization. So an organization can have one or many wallets. And then we told, you know, like based on the use case, it changes quite drastically. For farmers who are, you know, growing coffee beans in Rwanda, that authentication and authorization policy probably isn't the same as me who's living in Palo Alto. I just wanted to say that.
Great. Thanks, Michael. So the question I have is about coordinating, right? I think Michael, you brought up a really good question earlier. You know, how can we learn from each other? How can we try and align, you know, these APIs over time? What are the lessons that we can learn? There are a number of endpoints, at least in the Trinsic API, that map almost directly to endpoints in the VC HTTP API. So it feels like, you know, that's a place that we could kind of start and talk about and get input. The other, you know, discussion, of course, is over authorization. I think I heard you say, we use bearer tokens, for, you know, all of our endpoints, modulo the wallet holder stuff, right? Where you, depend on kind of DIDCOM and things like that, DID based authorization authentication. Is it OAuth 2 client credentials? Is it some kind of OIDC based flow to get the bearer token? What specifically are y'all using?
Yeah, I'm not the expert on this. I'll say that out right now. I believe they are just client credentials. They are signed tokens that are then, you know, they have an expiration date of, I think, 1 year. And then the, you know, they're stored in a secure location and sent alongside the request. I do not think it's an OIDC token.
Great. That was perfect. That was the exact level of clarity we needed. That is one of the things that we're looking at in this group. The other question is, I think, the more interesting, you know, important one. And I think I heard you say, you know, you're really trying to focus on giving customers a simple, holistic product that they can use to get into the ecosystem, right? And then in the V2 APIs, mm-hmm. there's some desire there to use the VC data models in some capacity. Is there any interest intrinsic in your V2 API to potentially align with the VC HTTP API? Or do you feel like it really is, you know, you're trying to focus first on your customers and what they need, and if it aligns with the VC HTTP API, great, but it's not necessarily a goal to align. Thoughts on that?
I think and I'm seeing some of the people in the chat. Justin, don't quote me on the 1 year token expiration. I don't actually know what it is. I probably shouldn't be saying things that I'm not completely sure of on this call. The path towards alignment, I am interested in understanding kind of the specific use cases, and that is probably a failure of mine to go and explore that even before this call. I would like issuers and verifiers to have the option to go use an open source alternative if they so choose, or go use a different vendor if that vendor is providing a better experience. So we'll likely see a dual approach where, similar to our API, you can have kind of an endpoint to issue a credential that is very abstracted. They might just have the identifier that you're going to issue from the wallet. We are, and actually it's in our documentation here, we're also trying to build out kind of a core experience. So we're separating out Trinsic core from Trinsic ecosystems. And ecosystems is meant to be a platform. Core is meant to be tools for issuance and verification. And so I think, Manu, you'll see us try to align, especially on the open source, or kind of like the standardized specification side, in our core product offering, where people can come use that, then kind of more of an ecosystems product will be built on top of that, that then people can utilize for maybe more application specific scenarios. Like, I'm imagining the VC HTTP API could be used maybe even just for like super simple issuance and verification of credentials that might replace like authentication in some use cases. So I think, to summarize, yes, we want to standardize and align with people. It will probably not be our only product offering, though. We'll probably have kind of more of a ecosystems product offering on top of that.
Got it. How, let me hold on 1 second. Let me check the queue, which is still empty. If folks have any, last questions, now's the time to get on the queue. We've got about 10 minutes left. So I guess that, you know, it's interesting how you've, broken up, the APIs into kind of those two groups, right? The provider API, I think, is really interesting. Because there, you know, there are these lower level things that some people need to do, and some people, need to be able to drive entire ecosystems using those lower level things, and maybe you need a higher level API, to do that. Do you have any, thoughts on which parts of those need to be, standardized, and which parts don't? Because, you know, some people might argue like, hey, the ecosystem APIs, go at it. That's, you know, where these competitors get together and compete. Just make sure the low level APIs, you know, are standardized. The higher level APIs, well, that's value add that companies can bring. That's one approach. And the other approach is like, no, standardize everything, right? So what are your thoughts, there?
I definitely resonate more with the first approach. I think having good tooling is a value add for a lot of developers. And I hope working with everyone in the decentralized identity community, like we can come together and make great tooling for people. That's how we're going to achieve adoption. And I think like a rising tide will raise all ships there. If we can make cohesive, understandable, like tools to issue and verify credentials, that work, that actually work and are easy to use, people, I think, will come to play. I'm thinking of like how Docker gained so much of a following. It's largely on that tool layer. But like, I think there also is space for companies, maybe like Trinzic, or others who are probably even on this call, to then provide more of a platform, or maybe probably isn't the best analogy, but maybe like the Docker Hub, right? And do we want people to be beholden to us or locked into our system? No. We do, however, want to actually achieve real-world adoption of verifiable credentials. And I think to do that, we do need a healthy ecosystem of vendors who are providing solutions and serving customers. So for one, I think Trinzic is trying to serve the needs of growing this ecosystem. And for that, we want to align around standards. That's why we built Trinzic Core. For the other, we need to solve customer problems. And, you know, as someone who likes to build products, I'm trying to solve customer problems on a broad scale with a product. And I will probably always defer to kind of that relationship I have with our customers to solve our problems, to solve the problems there. So I do see it as more of a two-tiered approach, but I'm definitely willing to be persuaded otherwise.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you, Michael. Looking at the queue, I don't think anyone else has put themselves on. We have one more item to cover in the last couple of minutes. Michael, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about the Trinzic API. I think it's great. It is one of the, I think, best examples of really good API documentation in the space. Whenever folks ask, you know, what does real great API documentation look like, it's fairly easy to point to Trinzic as a leading example of that. So thank you for coming. Hopefully, you know, this is not the last we see of Trinzic. I know you've started a work item in the group, which is great. So we hope to see much more of you over the coming years.
Yeah. Thanks so much, everyone. Once again, I would love to learn from everyone here. I feel like I'm coming in and blabbering on about Trinzic, and I hope we can learn from each other. So feel free to reach out to me directly, michael@trinzic.id, or send any sort of mailing list message if you want to start a conversation, and I'll try to respond. So thanks so much.
Great. Thank you, Michael. All right, we have one item left on our agenda for today. It is the VC-HTTP API renaming poll results. The name's terrible. Nobody likes it. We want to rename it. And we sent a poll out to the community to get some thoughts on what the name could be. So the poll results are here. We do have one objection on the poll, which means that, you know, the chairs, either the editors in this group are going to have to make a call on what the outcome is, or the chairs in the CCG are going to have to make a call there. But what we can do today is we can just kind of go through the results, so far, and they may or may not be modified further. So the poll, you know, just to remind everyone of the process we went through, we went out to the community, asked, folks, hey, what would you like to rename the VCHTTP API, to? There was some good discussion on branding, marketing. There were a number of suggestions made on what we could do. Let me go ahead and see if I can share my screen. This is going to be a little tiny on there, but let's try this. There were 26 people that voted in the poll, and the top picks were the VC API, Verifiable Credential API, Verifiable Credential Exchange, and the Verifiable Credential HTTP API, or VC Happy. And then we also did a counter poll to see which things people really didn't want to get picked. The most disliked option was Transportly, and then followed by Transport.VC, and then, of course, very credential face, as things that people really didn't want to see. So, so that's good. We actually have a full ranking. So we use the board account, approach, to see, what to pick. Board account is used whenever people are like trying to pick their favorite restaurant to go to. But basically you can see the, you know, you can see the breakdown. There's a pretty strong, support for, you know, you could say between 3 to 5 items here, and the rest of them really just fell out. So that helps us focus. We don't always have to pick exactly what the poll came up with. This group is in charge of the spec. We can have reasons why we go with option, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. But it was a good, you know, it was good to get that data. All data has been uploaded to the mailing list. So if folks want to go and double check the election, check the, you know, check the polls, all the raw data is, down here at the bottom attached, to the email. At this point, if anyone has any thoughts about, like, you were surprised where the, you know, what ended up being ranked highly, or, you know, or anything of the sort, right? You thought it was interesting that, put yourself on the queue, if you have any comments on, kind of the results of the poll. To prime things, I'm interested that VC API ended up being picked, or ended up being the highest thing, because one of the biggest things I heard from the group was, please don't pick, you know, acronyms and shortenings. Let's make it easy to communicate what this thing is to the general public. So I was expecting things like, you know, the VC Transport Protocol or Verifiable Credential Exchange, to come out on top. But instead we're seeing, you know, VCHTTP API kind of coming back up again, instead we're, you know, saying happy here and then the VC API here. So, any thoughts, Mike? You're on the queue.
In theory, I can come off of mute there. Yeah, no, notwithstanding the fact that I'm very sad that very McCredential face did not wind up at the top. I do think it's definitely an interesting observation, right, Manu? As a non-binding poll that's just like, hey, let's get a survey and help drive us to consensus. Really useful feedback to get out. Because it shows, you know, just when we look at like average participation and stuff like that, right? Having 26 votes in is actually kind of in line with what our kind of normal, like active engaged in that community is. And so I think it gives a good sampling of folks that don't always necessarily speak up at calls, which is, you know, not abnormal. And so, you know, and at the same time, being able to say verifiable credential API at least is in line with like, nope, we've got an API for dealing with verifiable credentials. So in that aspect, it does seem a bit descriptive to me. It does seem to kind of make sense. I wasn't sure how kind of the Transportly stuff was going to do, like, because I thought that from a branding perspective could be really interesting, but ultimately we're talking about standards, not, you know, product here, right? So, that was how that kind of stuff at least shook out in my mind. That seemed to reflect the way I was looking at it, at least.
Great. Thanks, Mike. And we're at the top of the hour. Any last minute thoughts before we, close out the call? All right. With that, thank you everyone for the call. Thank you, Marcus, for scribing. Thank you, Michael, for presenting on the Trinzic API. Next week, Mike Prorock's going to be running the call. We'll chat, Mike, real quick about what the agenda could be. And other than that, have a wonderful rest of the week. Take care. Bye.